And the same thing is true with the seeker-sensitive, purpose-driven method in the message. The message that says, be a member of the family of God. You'll have purpose. Your territory will be expanded. You'll be so much happier. You'll enjoy fellowship. You'll get to hear great music and great presentations. You'll be fulfilled. And as soon as the pastor starts getting tired of all these taker, 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 takers and starts seeing that the budget isn't hitting and we don't have volunteers and we don't have staffing, he's going to start delivering messages that say, hey, people, we really need to start volunteering more. You know what you're going to hear, preacher? What do you mean volunteer? I didn't come here to volunteer. I came here to get stuff. You told me that I was going to get stuff here. But now that you're in the family, you really should start reading your Bible more. Why should I start reading my Bible? Reading my Bible, do you know how hard that is? I was told that if I come here, I'm going to have fulfillment. Well, what we really needed to do is write out a big check because we need to send money to missions. What do you mean, come here to get money? I came here to get money. I came here with all the promises of how great life is going to be. And what are you, now you're asking me for all these things? Goodbye. No, don't go. We've got 40 days of purpose now. Pray to Jabez. And we shag these people down. We chase after these people because it was an unreasonable presentation of the gospel. And now we're making entirely unreasonable requests. And poor preachers, I can't tell you how sorry I feel for you. I truly can't. I know the tension that exists when you get into that pulpit on Sunday morning. You want to preach the word of God, but you want to get these people who aren't acting like Christians to start acting like Christians. And so instead of just expositing the scriptures and telling the wonderful, amazing truths that exist inside of them, you've got it intermixed with scolding and shaming and pleading and begging and prompting and encouraging and exhorting because they simply aren't acting like a Christian. Well, I don't blame them. Nobody told them up front. By the way, when you become a Christian, plan on picking up your cross and following him. Plan on being sawed in half, and anything short of that will be a blessing. Although getting sawed in half for the glory of the cause is a magnificent blessing. You can't blame these poor people. We got to stop just telling them all the goodies that they're going to get from Jesus Christ and Christianity. That's why the tension exists. That's what's going on right now in the churches. This is the war that's happening right now in the churches. Why aren't these people acting like Christians? Hello? They're not. And now we exhort and we encourage and we come up with new programs and new books and new promises, new sex appeal to try to make it more relevant. Make it more exciting. And yet at the same time, now we're having to sneak in, could you please just give a little bit more money? Could you please just volunteer a little bit? It'd be really good if you can start reading your Bible, but I don't want to push it. And rightly so. We lied to them up front. We lied. We've got to stop lying. We've got to stop telling them that Christianity is the greatest thing since sliced bread and start telling them that it's not about them and fun and giggles. Christianity is about being reconciled to God. Christianity is about what you haven't repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Are you aware of the fact? This is so crucial. Are you aware of the fact that you are an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works? Do you know that his wrath abides upon you? Listen, let me find this Bible verse for you. I've been trying to commit this Bible verse to memory. Haven't quite gotten there yet. But listen to this Bible verse and tell me how different this message sounds compared to the seeker-sensitive method. The method that is, well, get purpose. Do read this book for 40 days and life will be really super fulfilled. And you'll never be the same. I mean, listen to the back of this book. Here, the purpose-driven life will guide you to greatness. What a lie. This is the book you've been waiting for. It's a groundbreaking manifesto, compelling, transforming. It's a priceless gift for everyone who now wants to know their purpose and fulfill their destiny. Fulfill their destiny? Sorry, I don't get any choice in that issue. I don't get to plan my destiny, plot my dream, and then petition God for it. Give this book to everyone you care about. Believe me, you'll never be the same after reading it. Oh, boy. Is it disoriented about the direction? Are decisions tough to make? You've got to read this masterpiece. Boy, won't Christianity be great? What a deceptive advertising campaign. Listen to the Apostle Paul, by contrast, as he is writing to, where am I at here? Oh, wait, hold on a second. I apologize for this. Where'd it go? that's loud. Where'd it go? Hold on a second. Oh, now I'm going to have to actually... Oh, wait a second. 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, sorry. I sound like the man behind the curtain. All right, here, listen. Instead of the back of the book that I just read to you and the wonderful plan of becoming a Christian, listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this pleading by Paul. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. As God's partners, as God's ambassadors, we beg you not to reject this marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. And he's in the previous chapter, he's saying this, since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we all have died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Could I insert have purpose? Instead, they'll live to please Christ. Please, I beg you, don't pass up on that offer that he died for you and gave you new life. That's the offer. And right now in the church, the lines should be getting drawn in the sand. I fear, though, that people aren't even aware that there's sand and that there's a line that needs to be drawn. This is a tickling-the-ear message. And just like the little orphan we wouldn't bring in the house and just tell them about all the good things without telling them about the cost and the responsibility and the commitment that exists, we've got to stop doing that with a seeker to our churches. Got to stop it. Otherwise, you're going to have yourself one torqued family member, and you're going to have yourself one bitter backslider. And you're going to have an extremely frustrated pastor. I will say this again. Pastor, if you invited the purpose-driven life into your church, you didn't invite in the solution. You invited in the very problem. And this personifies, in fact, it maybe is the quintessence of the systemic problem. The core problem of the church right now is the main problem of man self-esteem and purpose, or is it sin? What type of church are you going to? What type of preacher are you? What type of Christian are you? I'm telling you, if you came to Jesus for self-esteem, I hope you stick around for a while. I hope you like potluck meals. I wish we could do the show better for you because it's not as good as what's happening at the Guthrie and the Orpheum. Sorry. I wish it were as good. See you around sometime. 90%. We're losing 90% of our decisions for Jesus Christ because of this type of message, because we don't tell people the cost up front. The purpose of God, not the purpose of man. 90%. I don't want to be a part of that at all, ever. Do you?